We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Tip released an album years ago called Trap Music. Trap Music was an album in which T.I., known as Tip, was talking about and doing a chronicle of his life in the trap. And so we come across a lot of stories about people, regular people, young black men, young African-American men caught up in the lifestyle of drugs, crime, and violence. And in hip hop, in music, and just in everyday life comes a term known as trap. And so joining with us right here on The Mental Space with Sean Garvey, News and Talk 1380 WAOK, I am honored to have this gentleman in the studio, and he is here to talk about the trap life and mental health. Born in Beaufort, South Carolina, but raised on the South Side, in the South Side, Fairburn, Georgia, and you had a journey. You have a journey. You went from being incarcerated for 10 years in prison, lived a life of misfortune, trouble, being a part of that lifestyle, and now you have turned your life around for the better. You are pretty much a pillar in the community that a lot of people, not just only in the city of Fairburn, but just all over Atlanta, you are highly respected by your peers, from community activists, politicians, everybody. And I am just so honored to have you in the WAOK studios on The Mental Space for the very first time. Travis Emery Barber, author and entrepreneur in the studio. Welcome to The Mental Space, sir. How is your mental health?
It's better. It's better. I'm stable.
I like better.
I'm functioning.
Yeah. You have a story. And I want to use the remainder of the show to celebrate you for all your accomplishments and your achievements. But we got to get to the genesis of where you are at now and where you came from. I spoke about Fairburn, Georgia. I'm no stranger to Fairburn, Georgia. Okay. I actually was raised in Fairburn, come from the South Side. And Fairburn tends to, and this is just from my perspective, my observation, Fairburn gets overlooked at times. It's a very underrated city, underrated town. And when you think of Fairburn, for the people on the outside looking in, they don't look at it as like a Bankhead or as a Decatur or as other parts of the world, whether it's the Pittsburgh community or, you know, other areas and cities that are known for, you know, high crime and things of that sort. But talk to our listeners about your upbringing in Fairburn, Georgia.
My upbringing would be the typical story of growing up, they would say, in the hood, you know, lower income housing, high school diplomas and probably GEDs and college high school dropouts. But in the whole essence of it, we were a village. Everybody knew everybody, and, you know, everybody protected everybody.
Mm. Yeah. There's a small community in Fairburn. I believe it's called Lightning.
Yes, sir.
It's called Lightning.
That's where I'm from.
And, you know, that's where you're from. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being that I also lived in Fairburn back and forth, I've seen some things. I haven't seen a whole lot, but I have seen some things, and I heard about the things coming out of that small community, right? And so, you know, growing up and how you was raised in the hood and being part of that, how did it affect you mentally as a kid? How did it affect you as a kid mentally?
Well, I didn't know it was affecting me as a kid until I became an adult. But it kind of numbed me to violence. And, you know, I didn't realize that, you know, my neighborhood, my community, my upbringing was what they would call dysfunctional. Just due to, you know, uncles being on drugs, uncles pimping, having shootouts with us with me in the car. Just so many things that I experienced, you know, it was traumatizing. Now that I'm adult, and I can speak on it, I can define what I experienced as a child, and that made me the man that I am.
Mm-hmm. Like I said a few moments ago, about the term trap, we hear it a lot, especially mm-hmm. in rap and the hip hop culture that it is now. Tell our listeners, because we want to add some context behind the word trap, right? Our audience know they heard about the word trap before so many times. And there is, of course, trap music that is still being played today. Add some context to the word trap. Like, what is the actual meaning to the verb trap?
Stuck in one spot. But for me, I got my nickname from my grandfather. I was always built, even as a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandfather called me that short for the traps. Mm. And, you know, so then even growing up, not realize I was living in a trap. And by me coming back home from college and start selling drugs, I kind of lived up to that name. But for the typical name, the definition would be illegal activities in one location where it's really like one way in, one way out.
Mm-hmm. Was it something where it was like an option to you or something that was forced upon you? Like
no,
you had to.
I had a choice. Okay. I had earned a scholarship to Georgia Southern University.
Wow.
And I didn't sell drugs until I was like 23. I dropped out of school and came back home. So it for me, even the drug dealers at the time, they wouldn't even let me think about selling no drugs. Plus, my mother was going to beat me to death. She heard it. She even heard I was selling drugs.
Mm.
Yeah. So, you know, that was I had a choice. I just chose that. It was the easy route to go once I realized I couldn't play no more football.
Wow. You had a big opportunity.
Yes, sir.
Big opportunity. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Interesting. And sports, was that the only thing, like, outside of the illegal activity? You know, you had sports. Were there other things that you wanted to do or you could see yourself doing growing into an adult?
I just want to run quarterback down until the day I die. For real, yeah.
Yeah, wow. 404-892-2703, the telephone number, the trap life, and mental health. We're coming up on a break, Travis, but what I want to do is to talk a little bit about the journey, the journey or that part of the journey where you was in the trap, you was in the hood, you was doing illegal activity or being a part of the illegal activity. And I want to get to that part where it just got so caught up to you to now you find yourself in the justice system. You find yourself incarcerated. So I want to talk about that part of your life. And we're going to take some calls.
Okay.
404-892-2703 is the telephone number. We have author and entrepreneur Travis Barber in the studio with yours truly, Sean Garvey. The mental health, trap life and the mental health. We have more coming up right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Welcome back to The Mental Space with Sean Garvey. I am joined by my special guest, Travis Barber, author and entrepreneur in the studio right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We are talking about the trap life and mental health, 404-892-2703. Let's go to the phone lines and speak to Joe from Jonesboro. Good evening, Joe.
Hello.
Welcome to The Mental Space.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
It would seem to be a simple exercise to avoid depression and bad vibes in the industry by just identifying the things that make you disturbed or distressed and just avoiding it. You try an experiment, get a piece of red construction paper and put an X on it, get about 10 of them, and then you identify 10 things in your life during the course of a day that make you upset. A bipolar loved one, somebody who stole your car, people who owe you debt, anything that gets you depressed, give them a piece of paper like that. And if they ask what you're doing, you tell them, you're something in my life that makes me depressed. I'm trying to work around you. And that might help you to at least know what's going on in your life that's not healthy. And things that that make you angry, things that make you want to hurt somebody, you should catalog all those things and try to find a way to avoid it.
All right. Thank you for that suggestion, Joel. But what do you have for us this evening? We're talking about the trap life and mental health. Do you have a question for Travis Emery Barber?
Who actually started the trap lifestyle? Was somebody in the Ku Klux Klan? Because everything about it, there's nothing in the hip hop or the crazy offshoot lifestyles that we've been seeing. They take a lot out of the black culture, but they don't put anything back in. I even remember the last time they did a voting drive or went out to feed the homeless or help those who are in need. They don't help this culture, but they do take a lot out of it. What is something that the trap lifestyle has done for African-Americans, if they're still calling themselves African-American?
Okay, Travis, do you want to go ahead and answer that question?
Well, the trap hasn't did nothing as a whole to the culture. It has sustained individual lifestyles, but as a whole, it's been a destruction for the people that suffer from the drugs that are being solicited in the communities that we call the trap. So as a whole, no, sir, but individually, get rich or get paid, but either gonna come with a price, a heavy one, if you don't make it to the grave before you make it to prison, or addicted to your own product. So the trap hasn't did nothing as a whole for the community.
If that's the case, you need to, it's something that we should avoid. We should give trap music and trap cultures a red paper with an X on it. You're not helping.
Absolutely. I agree.
Okay. Thank you so much for your question and your comment, Joe. 404-892-2703. That is interesting. Should we get rid of trap music? Should we get rid of it?
No, we shouldn't get rid of trap. It's a form of art, and the people that are rapping about the trap are the people that come from it, and you can only tell your life from your lens. So to try to silence a man or a woman from expressing their story, their life, that's inhumane.
404-892-2703. We will revisit that in just a few moments, but I want to go back to the beginning stages, part of your journey from where you came from to where you are at now. And so being caught up in the life of out here, getting caught in the illegal activity and getting caught up in doing all those things that became criminal or that were criminal and stuff. Like, was there ever a point in time, Travis, that you look and you was like, you know what? I don't want to do this forever. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to do this forever. I've seen what it's doing to my people, my community. Has there ever been a time where that kicked into your mind?
Nah, my drug career was short-lived due to the fact when I caught the murder charge. I only had been selling drugs about 2.5-3 years. So, you know, I didn't get to that point where I was tired of it, because when you coming in from nothing and you start getting thousands of dollars hourly, I wasn't trying to stop that. I had to be stopped. But I didn't get to that point. I didn't make a whole career out of it. I was cut short, which I thank God for.
Yeah. Can you walk us through that day where you was out, you was doing what you was doing at the time, and then all of a sudden the authorities come in? You know, they kicked in your house or whatever. You know,
they kicked in my house later, but I was at a club.
Okay.
We had just left a club in Carrollton, and we was at the Crystals grabbing something to eat. And in the process of waiting on my buddies to get the food, they end up getting attacked by a mob of, now that I know there was gang members, called the Dog Pound. Mm-hmm. And then in the process of them jumping on my buddies trying to take the hat and the jewelry, I jumped out of my car and went to help and try to get some separation so we can get on up out of the parking lot, get up out of their city. And they gave us a little breathing room, so I run back to the car. And as we about to pull off, I look in the rear view. They back on their head. Told my buddy, stop the car. This time I jump out, take my Desert Eagle. I run up, y'all get back. And a little scuffle, they backing up. Tell my buddies to get in the car. And as I'm telling them to get back, all I hear is gunshots ring out. I feel my chest just jar as I'm falling backwards and stumbled and end up rolling between two parked cars as the shots were ringing out. Wow. And at that point, I pulled my weapon out. My buddies were still over there in the crowd, so I dumped it over their head, emptied the clip on the Desert Eagle. If you ever heard what a Desert Eagle sound like, you know, that gave us the space and the time they got on up out of that end. So I jumped up. As I'm running, I'm stumbling. My buddy catch me and helped me to the car. I get in the car, I'm shot in the chest, and I'm shot in the foot.
Wow.
So we leave on out and come back to Atlanta, go to the hospital. That's when I go in the hospital and check in with an alias name, not knowing that my buddies didn't make it out of the parking lot and that somebody had been killed.
Yeah. And I can imagine that was a very traumatic experience.
Absolutely.
For everybody involved.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you think at that one particular time, like, this could be my last day on earth?
Oh, yeah, laying between the two cars, I'm feeling the pain. I'm hearing the gunshots and the scuffling, and I'm like, I'm finna die in the street like a dog, you know?
Yeah. 404-892-2703. And then the authorities came in later on.
I had to turn myself in. I stayed in the hospital about a week, come home, get to the house, sitting on the news, my picture, called a lawyer. Talked with him, got a warrant for your arrest for murder. I couldn't even walk. I'm on crutches. So I go on the run for about 2 weeks, get myself together, come back, straighten up all my affairs with my family, and go turn myself in.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, then after that was the sentence. The sentence, 10 years.
11 months later.
11 months later. Wow.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
In the county jail for 11 months, no bond.
Well, let's talk about that coming back from the break, Travis. Behind the Trap, there is a documentary that was recently released. We on Roku. We're going to talk about that. Behind the Trap, Behind the Bars. Also, you know, we want to talk about the life that you spent, part of your life spent in jail, in prison. We're going to talk about that and how that affected your mental health. It's one thing outside of those prison walls that you've seen things, that you experienced things that challenges your mental health, but what about when you are in prison behind those walls? We're going to talk about that, and we are still taking your phone calls at 404-892-2703. It's The Mental Space with Sean Garvey, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Welcome to the second hour of The Mental Space, Sean Garvey, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Make sure you download the Odyssey app to listen to News and Talk 1380 WAOK, and you can tell your smart speaker, hey, Alexa, play News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We are now on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on WAOK. My special guest and I, we were having our offline conversations, and he is saying some amazing things to me that a lot of you all should hear. Shout out to everybody that are checking in on IG, 1380 WAOK, and on Facebook, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. If you're just now joining us, we are talking about the trap life and mental health. Travis Emery Barber in the studio, author and entrepreneur, and you are also the proud owner of One Mo organization. We're going to get into that in just a few moments. You have done a lot of great things in the community and still doing a lot of great things in the community. And coming up, because we are in the month of November, I want to point this out, that we are coming up on November 24th, which has been declared as Travis Emery Barber Day by the city of South Fulton. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you, America League. Councilman Mark Baker. Yeah, that was a great honor, especially have my mother, my family, and my sons to see me standing in triumph as opposed to standing on trial. Mm. You know, tears of joy now coming down my mother's face with every award, every event, every accomplishment.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. From the trap now to prison, 10 years.
10 years. When I got the phone call from the lawyer, that's when I really had lost it. I was in the car. And my mother didn't know until she seen the documentary that I was about to blow my brains out. You know, I was sitting in my Chevelle in the garage. My family was in there doing their thing. They didn't have no idea what was going on about the case, the incident. And my buddy called me about 2 minutes prior to me pulling the trigger. I was like, I'm not going to jail. I'm not going to jail.
You had suicidal thoughts.
Yes, sir. I had suicidal thoughts like 3 times when I got the first phone call in jail, county jail, knowing I'm not getting out on no bond after 4 denials. Then I get the sentence of 20 years. Like, man, let me go ahead and leave here, you know. You either let me go. But God kept me.
Mm. So talk to us about that time, because that is time.
Yeah.
10 years. You know, people.
20. The judge said 20, but I served 10.
You served 10. Yes. But, you, yeah, 20. Yeah, much longer than 10 years.
Okay.
Much longer than 10 years. But that's still time.
Yeah.
You know, walk through us that time in incarceration in prison. What was prison life for you?
Well, after I came to grips with this is home, and I don't want no little kid or little boy to think that I'm glorifying prison, but all my life I've been like a leader. And when I got to prison, I took that same leadership role that I did in college, in the streets, and in high school. I took that same attitude, temperament, tone, demeanor to prison. I ain't going to play with you, but I'm cool. And prison for me was, it was a rehabilitation, reshaping my mind, my soul, my spirit, my focus, my goals, my worth, my purpose.
So to you, it was rehabilitation, but to others, it was just...
Probably a recreation.
Or like a motel or
something. A hell, because one of my buddies, he did kill himself, and that's why I go so hard, and that's why I can't cut my phone off. I can't not answer because my buddy wanted to talk to me, but I was sleepy. I was tired. I had just come off detail, but when it's time for the count to clear, we was locked down, and come to find out, my little buddy had hung himself.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's still, to this day, it rides me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We hear things like a person, an inmate in prison being institutionalized. Was there ever a time that you came to grips that you too could be institutionalized?
I am. I'm still PTSD. I'm up at 4:30 every day. I can't sleep. But, you know, for me, I get up and I journal, I write, I pray, I meditate, I hit the gym. Mm. I keep it moving because in prison, so they wake you up at 5:30 every morning. And like the first 2 years, I'm like, y'all ain't finna keep waking me up. They'll cut the TV off when you ain't doing what they want you to do. So I gave them their TV back, picked up the books, and I started getting up doing my cardio at 4:30. So you can't wake me up. Mama already doing jumping jacks when they walk in. I'm sweating like a dog. Find somebody to wake up.
Yeah.
So I just had to flip the whole script on.
So those things that you became accustomed to and you experienced during your time in prison.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Then you carry that to you to this very day. Some things, maybe not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot. I'm getting better and better. My people, some things you can't cut off. When you from the hood, you from the trenches, like soldiers when they come from war, they still on guard. Mm. And when you come off of prison, you still, like, it can pop off at any time. So you still got that instinct, and you still don't let certain things slide. So, but I'm better, a whole lot better, and I'm getting better.
You're getting better.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, 404-892-2703 is the telephone number. 404-892-2703. Travis Emery Barber served time in prison. He was going for 20 years, but ended up getting 10 out and still going through it. But like you just said, you're getting better and better. Yeah. I think that's very important, too, is the art of progression and getting better and also having a positive outlook.
And going to therapy. I go to therapy too.
Yes. Can we talk about
that? I'm not afraid to tell them I go to therapy.
Yeah. Can we talk about, because it's still a conversation that needs to be had. You know, going to therapy. There are some people who are skeptical or are having reservations about going to therapy. Why do you think some people that come out of prison and come back home, why do you think some don't go to therapy? Because apparently it worked for you,
Well, you got to humble yourself to go to therapy. You got to want to be great to go to therapy. And no longer being on the football field, what can I do to be great as a person? Mm. You know, so I want to be an athlete as a citizen. I want to score touchdown, interceptions, and sacks. And I do it with my philanthropy, with my nonprofit. That's how I go. That's how I'm still at. I'm still in the game because I'm still loving, inspiring, and encouraging.
404-892-2703. We are coming up on another break.
Cool.
And I want to talk about a rapper that we lost this past week, of course. And this hits very heavy to a lot of us in the community, especially in the rap community and the hip-hop community. And people, including you in our audience, heard me mention about trap music. And we play trap music all the time. I dibble and dabble into trap music at times myself, too. You know, I'm one that believes that there needs to be a balance of different type of genres in music. But the question I want to pose when we come back and we're going to take your phone calls, do you think being a rapper today is just as dangerous as being a drug dealer or being in that particular part of life selling drugs? Do you think it's just as dangerous? Hold that thought. I know you're getting ready. I know you want to get ready to say it. But let's talk about that. 404 when we come back from the break. 404-892-2703. The Trap Life and Mental Health Entrepreneur and Author Travis Emery Barber in the studio. Call in with your questions and your comments. This is The Mental Space with Sean Garvey right here on News Talk 1380 WAOK. Takeoff, one of the members, one-third of Migos, shot and killed this past week. Very unfortunate. And we are still mourning the loss of Takeoff from Migos, dead at the age of 28. During a altercation at a bowling alley in Houston, Georgia. I'm sorry. Did I say Houston, Georgia? I'm sorry. Houston, Texas. Thank you so much. I say Georgia because they are from Georgia. Migos, they are from Georgia, but they were at a bowling alley. They may be at Houston somewhere in Georgia. Who knows? It may be a very, very small town.
Restaurant.
Houston's. Yeah, they were at a bowling alley in Houston, Texas, and that's when the incident occurred. I want to play a clip. Let's go to clip three. I want to play a clip, and this is audio that was taken during the altercation that led to gunfire. This was when Quavo, the member of Migos, got into a heated exchange with an individual. We're not certain if this individual is a suspect or a person of interest in the incident. But the audio that my producer is going to play is pretty graphic. We had to bleep out some of the profanity in it, but it is graphic. So if you have a child or a young person around, please cover their ears. We're going to play a little bit of the soundbite, and we're going to talk about if being a rapper these days is just as dangerous as selling drugs. Let's play it.
They know y'all, but they not gonna be disrespectful.
They want that
basketball. They want to be
disrespectful.
I
don't
basketball, bro.
Come here, won't play basketball. I
Now, when I hear that, that's traumatizing in itself. I see the expression on your face, Travis. Like, what are your thoughts? That was, once again, a soundbite from the incident that took place at a bowling alley in Houston, Texas, involving Takeoff, one of the members of Migos, who unfortunately was shot and killed at 28. I see the expression on your face, Travis. What's going through your mind when you hear that?
That's not a soundbite for me. You know, that's... That's reality. I lived it. I was hit twice by two different caliber guns. And it was after 2 a.m. as well. And whether you're a rapper, whether you're an athlete, whether you're an entrepreneur, you're responsible. And as we see, it's black on black. I've never been shot by a white man. We as black men got to stop it. And can't nobody stop it but us. It's our problem. You know, and it's going to be so many more of those that y'all call sound bites. And, you know, I just lost a cousin, a month ago on Cleveland Avenue. Same thing, you know. But when you sign up for these streets, for these drug dealers, for these gangs, that's what comes with it. When you enlist in the military, we know you might not make it home. And, you know, we just got to do better as a people, man, and quit blaming. And we got to stop just posting to come off from behind these phones and get in the community and get the hold of these kids, these young boys that think that's cool to have your pants sagging and carrying a big old gun with a drum on it without a permit. And you ain't got lawyer fare, bond fare, or nothing in your pocket, but you got a clip full of bullets. It's on us, man. And as that happened, I had to go on Wright Street and talk with the little boys who had already killed some other sons and daughters and robbed people and carjacked. And I still got to mentor them as well as the little boys coming up behind them. Mm-hmm. But a black man, you know, it's a whole nother ball game. We got to defend ourselves from ourselves.
Yeah. You said it's us. So does the accountability also fall on the hands of artists, of rappers? Because
absolutely. It's okay. Like me being 46, I got shot twice, caught 20 years, and now you're going to catch all kind of hell. Get me out the house if it ain't an event or I ain't going with family because I know what goes on late night. You can get killed in daytime, too, but I'd like to minimize it for me.
Mm-hmm. 404-892-2703. And the reason why I ask that question, I hear it all the time, it's a lot of finger-pointing. It's either at the rappers, it's at hip-hop, or it's the media. It's a lot of finger-pointing. And one thing you said that is interesting to me that you brought up was, black on black crime. Absolutely. It's black on black crime.
Yeah, the media.
There's a community of people who feel like we need to stop using black on black crime. We need to stop saying that because I don't hear other communities say white on white violence or Hispanic versus Hispanic and all that, but it's always this black on black crime. What are your thoughts on that when people say that we have to stop using that narrative?
What else can we say when you wake up and you watch the news and it's a black man don't kill another black man every morning? What else do you say? I don't know the language they want us to use. What else do you say when you go inside of 901 Wright Street and every dorm is 98% black? I don't know what else to call it when you go to trial for a murder that you did not commit and everybody on the stand is black and the two people that shot you is black. What else do you say? It's not a sound bite for me. This is the reality that I live. And the justice system didn't care that it wasn't a 50 caliber gun that killed that young man. All they knew, they wanted to convict a black man. Mm-hmm. So three black men left. Two went to prison and one rest in heaven.
Now, the question that I ask, of course, is being a rapper, especially these days, is being a rapper just as dangerous as a person in the drug game? I remember telling one of my colleagues here that when I was growing up in hip-hop, it would be an artist, a slain artist, getting shot, killed, or dead once a year. And now it seems like it's open season for a lot of artists that rap about that life, that are still a part of that life, but rap about it in their music. And every other week, it's another artist getting shot and killed, dying over senseless violence. Do you think that nowadays being a rapper is just as dangerous as being a part of that drug game life?
I don't even, your profession, I think it's all about your choices, because it's so many brothers being killed every day. Social media just gives you the information on it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's giving you the numbers on it. And we're looking at that, and it's highlighted. But, you know, I think your profession has nothing to do with it. It's just the choices and the places and the people. Some stuff can't be avoided, but some can.
Mm-hmm. What did you, because listening to that clip, that audio, because like you said, and I'm glad you said it perfectly, you said that it was your reality of Takeoff. What do you think could have been preventable? What do you think could have been the solution to where Takeoff would still be alive today?
I asked myself that, and me and my brother just had the conversation, like, I said to myself, like, what could have been done differently? But then, too, like, when you get a certain position or a certain amount of dollars, you start surrounding yourself with yes men, you know? And, like, somebody should have been there, I think, that could have said something. But even in my situation, did nobody say nothing. We was all on the same page. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we all was with it either way it went until the shots rang out. And here I am standing alone. But, you know, like, you never know what your buddies are going to do until the shots ring out, you know. You'll never know who's going to fall. Everybody real until the bullets start flying. And, you know, some things, you know, I really can't say, though. My case was different. I'm blessed to still be here to tell my story.
404-892-2703. We are honored to have author and entrepreneur Travis Barber in the studio. Call in with your questions. We are coming up on another break. Travis, I want to get your thoughts on the Trap Museum here
never
in Atlanta.
Been.
You never been?
Nah.
You never been. I mean, I know there's not so much you can speak on,
yeah.
But question I have, and you can wait to answer this when we come okay. back from the break. The question I have is there a need for an establishment like the Trap Museum? I remember coming across a video clip of one of the actors from Atlanta. He gave his opinion about the Trap Museum, and of course, artists like T.I., Tip, responded to his assessment about the Trap Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you've never been, I still want to know if there is a need for that in our community, in a city like Atlanta, and how that affects mental health. 404-892-2703. Plus, we're going to talk about your documentary and some of the challenges you've been through as a registered Georgia voter. You know, we're only a few days away from the big, big election day on November 8th. Okay. So we're going to jam all that in before we close out. It is the Mental Space coming to you from Houston, Georgia. Psych. Coming to you from Atlanta, ladies and gentlemen, is News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Okay, so Simone is disappointed in me because this is not actually her choice. She just picked something randomly from out of our vault. That is Bruno Mars and Cardi B. Simone's kind of somewhat choice. Right here on the Mental Space with Sean Garvey, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. 404-892-2703. Still in the studio with author and entrepreneur Travis Emery Barber, the author of his latest book, Behind the Trap. We are talking about the trap life and mental health. Before the break, Travis, I was asking you about the Trap Museum. I did get a little bit of the Trap Museum experience. Not a whole lot, but just a little bit. And we were talking offline and a little bit on the air about an actor by the name of Brian Tyree Henry, better known as Paperboy from the hit TV series Atlanta. And he recently was on the Kelly Clarkson show talking about what the Trap Museum is or what the intricacies are in that particular establishment. And he says that from his assessment, the Trap Museum, the Trap Music Museum, teaches you how to cook crack. Yeah, that's what the actor from Atlanta said, that it teaches you how to cook crack. And he just found out that there is a Trap Museum in Atlanta that is literally dedicated to the history of trap music. Do you agree with anything that Brian said in his statement?
I think it serves a purpose for the people who never been in a trap, never. For curious minds want to know. And I guess it's a part of it. It could be an educational tool, depends on how you look at it. But it's for strictly entertainment. So, you know, I can say yes for the educational piece, but, you know, for us that lived it, it's like we're not going. We're, for what?
Is there a need for it? Is there, for in a community in Atlanta, you know, this is the black Mecca, the black city, black Hollywood. We have multiple dozens of museums, and we have a trap museum that's only been in our community in Atlanta for years. Is there still a need for a museum like the Trap Museum, especially with all the things that has happened over the past couple of months, years, and so forth? Is there still a need for a Trap Museum in Atlanta?
Only for educational pieces. I can see myself doing a field trip over there with the boys, just to walk them through, because they want to know. They're going to find out one way or another if they are just adamant about knowing about the trap. So for educational pieces, yes. But glorifying it, nah.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about just trap music as a whole. You know, is it glorifying? Is it glorifying the trap? Is it glorifying the drug dealer lifestyle? Or is it educational, like what you just spoke of regarding the Trap Museum?
And then see the music is some of it is about the testimony, and you know, for Tip coming from Bankhead and actually having to be in the trap to make ends meet or whatever the reason may be. But I would rather have a museum of his personal home, so these kids can see what entrepreneur lifestyle looks like. Like the good things that you can come out of being being successful legally.
Okay, 404-892-2703. Let's go to another caller.
Please.
And let's speak to Nene Capri from the ATL, first time caller on the Mental Space. Good evening, Nene. How are you doing?
Good evening. How are you?
good. Say hello to Travis Barber. We have him in the studio.
Hello, Mr. Travis Barber.
Hey, Nene Capri, published author, my big sister, my mentor. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm all right seeing you doing these great things. I just wanted to call in my support. I'm so proud of you. I'm proud to say I know you. I learned so much from your journey, from your battles, and now from your wins. And I'm just grateful that you are one of the ones chosen by God to help lead the people. And thank you. Thank you for all your work that you're doing out here in the community. And I'm here, you know, if you ever need me, I'm right here.
Nene, I got to thank you for, Nene helped me put this book together.
Yes.
Nene inspired me. She invited me to her movie premiere, Acid Rain. And when I went to the premiere at Landmark Theater and I just seen the red carpet, seen the crowd, all the black people all dressed up and sharp. And I was like, man, this is it. And, you know, and I just stayed in the ear. We're working on my book. So many things happened with COVID, but we persevered. And about a year and a half later, I was doing my movie premiere on my documentary. And then after that, we released the book. And, man, it's just been a blessing. When you see somebody do it, then you can believe that you can do it. But just hearing about it, but she, hey, thank you for inspiring
me. Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. I don't want to hold you from the other listening audience. They might want to talk to you. But I was honored to help you, and I'm here for whatever you need moving forward. And thank you, thank you, thank you. If you don't hear it enough, we thank you. We love you. We appreciate you, brother.
Love y'all, too. Thank you.
Thank
you for calling in. 404-892-2703. What a great call, Travis. Yeah, and that's a leeway into the last segment of our show in which we're talking about your success in helping the community, helping young people get on the right path to success. They don't have to be in the trap. They don't have to do all the illegal activities. They don't have to do all that stuff. You can make it out of the trap. You can make it out of the hood. And we're going to have more with Travis Barber in just a few moments. We're going to talk about the book really quick. And we're going to also talk about you being a Georgia registered voter. You know, there's always been controversy with people coming out of the pen, coming out of incarceration, and not having that opportunity to go out and vote. 404-892-2703 is the Mental Space with Sean Garvey, with Travis Barber and his new book, Behind the Trap, right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Shouts to Simone. She helped me put together this playlist. I don't want to take all the credit, but Simone definitely did help me with this playlist this evening. Outkast, Elevators. Let's talk about elevation for one moment before we go to the callers. 404-892-2703. Travis Barber in the studio. The book, Behind the Trap. And you also have a documentary, Behind the Trap.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Let's talk about that real quick before we go to our callers, the book and the film.
The book was long overdue, just getting my journals together and getting them outlined. That's what Nene Capri came in to help me out with. Mm-hmm. And the people were so hungry for the book, I said, I got to go ahead and shoot the documentary. So the people that know Trap don't know Travis and vice versa. So I had to enlighten my brothers from the Trap, from my childhood, from my post-prison, post-conviction, that don't even know how to deal with Travis. Don't know how I'm up here talking all intellectual and standing beside sheriffs, mayors, and in the state capitol questioning the commissioners and at the city hall winning the Rice Award. They remember me from dog fighting and selling dope and hitting donuts on Old National. Then I walk into the other platform with the mayors and the sheriffs and the school teachers, the principals, the coaches, and the kids, and they don't know Trap. So I had to tell them about where I come from, about the bullets that I survived, the riots down the road in prison, the CERT team, shakedowns, all the chaos that comes with that lifestyle of coming up out of the trap and you hanging with a crew and y'all consider the gang because y'all acting in concert, two or more. Mm. So that's why I did the documentary, so my people can, on both sides, can know who they're dealing with, who they're in the presence of.
And there's some artists, we won't name them. We know who they are, Travis, but there are some artists that tend to, at times, glorify it.
Yeah.
And glorify the trap, glorify the drug game life. Not saying that they aren't doing positive things in the community, but with you, on the other hand, coming out of a 10-year bid in prison, and now, like you said, getting the Rice Awards, getting your own day by the city of South Fulton, and even going to different schools and talking to the youth and talking to kids, going to prisons and talking to inmates and talking to people, that speaks a louder volume. We always talk about, what is the solution? What is the solution? There aren't solutions, or the solution is to boycott rap, boycott music, boycott this and that. But I think at times you have to look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, what can I do? What can I do to help my community, to help these young boys and these young girls get on a better path to success? I may not have had a squeaky clean life. I may not have a squeaky clean past, but at least I have an opportunity in life to help people not make the same mistakes that I've made growing up. So it's all about paying it forward at the end of the day. 404-892-2703. Let's go over to Nate from the ATL. Nate, you on the Mental Space.
Good evening, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Good evening.
Good.
Yeah, Mr. I don't want to say it wrong. Is it Mr. Barber or Mr. Barker?
Barber.
Mr. Barber. Yes, it's nice to hear your voice on the air. I'm an avid listener of 1380. I'm one of the rare guys in my early 40s, a hip-hop guy, but I don't really listen to the radio for the music and the trap music. I tune to 1380 and tune in to these shows all day, and I just happened to be tonight here to pick up my daughter here from dance practice and jump in the car, and I'm not normally a listener of this late-night show, but I'm glad I caught it.
Yes.
Mr.
Yeah.
Barber, we've never met personally. However, we do have a friend or a buddy in common, Mr. Omari Smalls. We call him Feezy. That's a little Feezy. That's one of my childhood and adult friends, man. And
okay.
I just kind of went through a situation myself these last couple of months, this past summer. I'm not going to drag the listening audience out with that. But coming out of that, I was talking to little Feezy, Mr. Omari, and he said, man, I gotta introduce you to Trap, Nate. And it just so happened I followed you on social media, then get in the car today and hear you all on the radio. So I just want to encourage you.
Look at God.
I see you doing big things. I'm going to support your book and your movie. But I want to just leave the listening audience with this, because some people are listening on the radio. They don't put a face or anything with the voice they're hearing. And I just want the listening audience to understand that this guy is the real deal. And I'm just saying, not from what I know I've seen about him, but I'm talking about somebody who was behind the walls with him. I don't know if y'all were bunk mates or pod mates. Feezy did a few years back-to-back down
dorm.
The road. Same dorm. Feezy did a few years back-to-back. We all was doing our thing over in the Lakewood area. It's three few years ago. You know his story or whatever. I'm not going to drag that out. But when Feezy got home, he kept saying, and this a street dude. I mean, he's a professional guy now. Loving family, real good guy, solid individual. But he said, Nate, I wouldn't have made it in there without people like Trap. They call him Trap. I wouldn't have made it without people like Mr. Bob. I said, well, what was y'all doing, Feezy? What was going on? He said, Nate, we weren't on no gang stuff. We weren't on none of this. He said, but look, if you was around Trap every day, you're going to work out three times a day, and you're going to go to church and be in that Bible. He said, that's all we needed. So I just want to, and I'm going to tell you, for somebody, you might not have even heard him say that, but he's telling us, I'm talking about, we his partners, and he's telling us, like, bruh, I wouldn't have made it without a man like that, and it takes many of you, and I'm glad you're coming out on the outside, carrying on what you did on the inside, because that means a lot, and I would like to connect with you if we can, and,
definitely.
And keep this thing going.
Inbox me on IG, and I want to tell you this right here, like, after about that third year of being angry with the world, when I really sat down and God just stripped me of all my ego, I had to become the man that I wanted a man to be in my son's life. I left four boys out here on these streets. And I said, I don't know who going to be in their life, who their mother going to date, but I hope he's a man of substance and integrity. So I became to them boys what I wanted a man to be to my children. And yes, for that alone, that's why they respected me in my absence, and even to this day. And, man, thank you for calling in and sharing, man. I appreciate that.
All right, y'all have a good one. I'll make sure I get out to you.
Yes, sir.
And make sure to support the book, by the way, Behind the Trap.
Amazon.
Is available. Amazon. Make sure you support the book.
I got two P's in my trap, though.
Thank you so much, Nate. 404-892-2703. Before we get up out of here, Trap, let's play a clip courtesy of CBS Mornings. We are only days away from November 8th, and you shared a testimony on how things went for you as you was in the process of casting your ballot.
Yeah.
Concerns after a new voting law took effect last year that allows unlimited challenges to the voter rolls. Travis Barber says he got a red flag when he recently tried to cast his ballot, one of more than 64,000 voters whose eligibility was challenged this year under the new law.
I was embarrassed. I had to be called to the side while everybody else is coming through their processes 1, 2, 3.
Brad Raffensperger is Georgia's Secretary of State.
Well, I've been very clear on that. We want to make sure that people are lawful, eligible voters in the state of Georgia.
Well, Travis was able to vote with a provisional ballot, but the Secretary of State acknowledged there have been a number of frivolous challenges, so they may consider additional reforms to the law. And just a reminder that if no candidate clears 50%, could be headed for a runoff in December.
Challenges when it comes to voting, ladies and gentlemen. I am a registered voter myself. I did, in fact, go out and vote. As you can see on IG and Facebook Live, I do have my I Am a Georgia Voter sticker. And you had challenges at first going to vote. And we were talking about it offline that we've heard incidents, these type of situations before, where people who have just came out of prison, came out of incarceration, and having a hard time going to vote. So as we getting ready to close out the show, because we are in a very important election season, what is your advice to you know, people who just came out of prison and they having a tough time to vote? Let's say you.
Well, I still haven't voted. I did a provisional ballot.
You did a provisional ballot.
It's on standby. I go to court on the 8th to confirm my address. I voted last year for the first time in my life on parole. If you're on parole or probation, excuse me, you can vote. You can register and vote as long as you don't owe any fines that you're behind on. As long as your fines are caught up, you can vote on parole and probation. And when I went, they challenged my address this year. So when they said red flag, I asked them what was the red flag. They needed two more forms of ID. I presented that, and then they said it's been challenged. They didn't tell me by who or why. That's why I got to go to court. That's when I reached out to Stacey Abrams' campaign and Raphael Warnock, and both put me with their campaign managers, and they got me with CBS. And, you know, just coming home from prison, or even the people that are in the county jail that hasn't been convicted but can't afford their bond, you're still eligible to vote absentee, but you got to put up that fight to make them people get you what you need to cast your ballot. You're sending these county jails and you haven't been convicted.
Absolutely. Okay, so that is the great takeaway. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, go out and vote. November 8th is the last day, so make sure you go out and vote. Travis Barber, thank you so much coming on The Mental Space, the book, Behind the Trap. It is available right now on Amazon. And for more information, including the documentary, by the way, too, the documentary is on Roku TV. For more information about all the great things that you're doing in the community, I know we don't have that much time to talk about other things that you're currently working on, but, you know, we could sit here and say, or I could sit here and ask you, what advice can you give to the young people who are thinking about getting involved in that lifestyle? And my advice is, go see a person like Travis Barber. So for all of our parents and guardians that are listening to us on WLK, how can they reach you if they have a son or a daughter who's thinking about getting into that lifestyle?
They can hit me on IG at the number one MOQUESTION and on Facebook at Travis Barber, Mugshot the Millionaire. And stay in your lane, young guys, and they made the sidewalk for a reason. And for my grown people, either you got to make a decision. You got to make a decision. Answer the call. Your life is not all about you.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Travis Barber in the studio, author, entrepreneur, right here on the Mental Space. Thank you so much, sir. All right. It's been our time, ladies and gentlemen. Shout out to my producer, Simone, for holding things down with me. Like I said, folks, we are now on Wednesday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. after Derek Bozeman's show, Too Much Truth. Make sure you follow me, Sean Garvey, ATL, on Twitter and on Instagram at Sean Garvey, ATL, Facebook, Sean Garvey, and all things SeanGarveyOnline.com. Everything is all mental. Whatever you are going through, whatever you are attempting to do, whatever you are thinking, just know you can always reach out for help. And most importantly, all you need is a little bit of L-O-V-E. That is love, y'all. And remember to dial the three-digit number 988 if you are experiencing a mental health crisis. Tomorrow morning, Rashad Ritchie, and then Wanderlust Stokes from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Until the next Wednesday night, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., cheers.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.